Well, good morning, Neely's Creek again. This Sunday, we're going to be looking at the last chapter in your summer quarterly. So if you have not been able to receive your fall quarterly as of yet, they are at the back of the church following both services, 8:30 and 11. If you are not able to attend a service to pick one of those up, if you would reach out to the church office or either your elder, but the church office, we can get one to you. So thanks for listening. Lesson 13, entitled Walking in the Truth, can be found on page 39 in your quarterly. Today's lesson is really going to cover two books of the Bible. How often can you say that? We're going to cover two whole books in 20-ish minutes. Tall order. But we're going to be looking at 2 John and 3 John. And both short books in the New Testament sequence. But they both have some very interesting elements to them as it relates to the church and how the church acts and how the church, the church's attitude towards one another. And so extremely important for where we are even right now when we consider a pandemic and we consider all the things that have been going on around us, and continuing to love and continuing to focus on relationship. And so more about that as we begin. So let's read these texts in their entirety. 2 John, verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring his teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. 3 John, verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may go well with you, that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. But whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon. We will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. So two letters that we have before us, two letters, the majority and even the witness of the church fathers look to the Apostle John as the author of these letters. They look to him and they see that he has a relationship with these churches. We see that ancient witnesses look to him as the author. There's one ancient witness whose name was Polycarp, and he was one of the early church fathers. He was martyred for the faith, and his apprentice, whose name was Irenaeus, he writes that John was the author of these letters. Irenaeus is the proper pronunciation of his name. I don't think I said that right a minute ago. So Irenaeus writes that he was the author of these letters, and he says that he received that information from Polycarp. Polycarp himself was a good ways back there, and he actually had dealings, relational dealings with the apostles themselves, and so was in a good position to, being of that time period, to say, hey, John wrote these, the Apostle John. And so we see that, but we also see that there are some very similar themes carrying through from 1 John and then even from the gospel that bears his name. Loving one another, this coming from the pen of the apostle that wrote the disciple whom Jesus loved, that being the only time in any of the gospels that that was written about one of the disciples, but John being the disciple whom Jesus loved, as he calls himself. So that's quite a beautiful picture of being the disciple whom Jesus loved. You also see a reciprocation there. If you were to say that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved, there must have been great love from the other direction as well, for John, speaking about John's love for Jesus himself. And that love really does spill over into a grand zeal to love one another. To love one another in the church, which is Christ's body. Loving your brothers and your sisters well. Loving them sacrificially. Caring for them. Living together in unity. Protecting one another together. This sort of herd mentality. Coming about when he speaks of those who would come in and would teach things that are false. You know, running them away to protect this church that Christ has made to shepherd it well, that they would be unified, that they would not be struck by teaching that was false, that would disunify, that would harm them. So caring for them in a multitude of ways, there is a focus upon a grand relationship, that they are bound together in Christ because they are his church. So let's look at a couple things here. So 2 John verse 1 starts out rather curious because it says, "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth." All right, so we have this rather curious address because the lady is not defined. The only way she's defined is by saying that she is elect. So we have an addressee, we have the elder, and we have this lady. So John, calling himself the elder, is writing to this elect lady. All right. We don't have such an issue, do we, when we say who's the elder, because we know that John was an apostle. We know that his office as elder correlates with the New Testament use of that word. He was an overseer. He had a place in the church of authority granted to him by Jesus Christ. So calling himself an elder is not really problematic. It's like, okay, yeah, absolutely. He is the elder of this church. And he's writing to encourage. He's writing in 3 John, he actually calls out a situation there. He says that, you know, he would love to come and to be there and to deal with this situation with one who is speaking against him, speaking against those who work with him, and calling it wicked nonsense that is being spoken. And he desires that this would be rectified as an elder would. He desires to come and to shepherd, to bring the rod, to protect the sheep from this one who is bringing disunity. So we don't have an issue with the elder, and we really don't, you know, have an issue per se with the elect lady, but we just want to know who she is, or if this elect lady is actually describing the church. As you know, the church is described in female terms quite often. The church is referred to as a she in 1 Peter 5:13. The church in Corinth is compared to Eve because it says, who is said to be betrothed to one husband. And that's 2 Corinthians 11:2-3. Revelation 19:7 calls the church a bride. It's a bride adorned for her husband in Revelation 12:1-6. And that is that it carries great continuity because Israel was looked at as a bride. See, for example, Isaiah 62, verse 5. So this elect lady, if it's not a lady who is in the faith, who has literal children that he is writing to, he then therefore is without issue writing to the church. And her children, it is the church's children. We are children in the church. And I think this is probably the more likely application of these words. Looking at the continuity of 2nd and 3rd John, taking some of the same talking points, as it were, because look at 3rd John, he opens it the same way, the elder, in describing himself to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, and then ending 2nd John ends with saying, the children of your elect sister greet you. It would be really interesting for someone to describe someone else's sister as an elect sister. Now you could, because we would be talking about two sisters who are believers. They are elected by God. They have been chosen by God. They have been redeemed by the Son of God. They are now sheep of God's. They are His sheep. They are elected. They are called and they have been redeemed. But your elect sister greets you. The children of your elect sister greet you. It's far more likely that he is talking about another church. The church whom John is with at the time, they also send their greetings to you. Because there's something that comes into focus that I would like to spend a little bit of time here unpacking with you, because I think it is so important. Like I said, I think the most likely interpretation for this talk of Our Lady and the elect sisters is that we have been united together in one church, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it is called. We abide in Him as He is the true vine and we are the branches. The Scripture has many metaphorical pictures that talk about the church, but specifically as a bride and then specifically and moreover as this female entity in relationship to the bride. And so, in saying that, what's the application here? Where is that going to meet you this week? Because we can expound the little details of this all day. There are so many interesting things when you begin to dig into a book of God's Word, and you begin to understand the authorship, and you begin to understand what is going on culturally. You begin to understand or seek to understand the issues that arose at the time of this writing, the characters involved, and ultimately the message. Ultimately, just the message that has been given through the writer by the Holy Spirit. So I challenge you, if you haven't done a Bible study recently, and I challenge you even to do it with someone, I challenge you to do that because an in-depth study, whether that be with your wife, your husband, your dear friend, another member of Neely Creek Church. There's something about studying a book, even a shorter book, in depth that just provides a channel, a pipeline for the Holy Spirit to work mightily in your own heart. Because you come to this place in God's Word and you dwell there for a bit. And the Lord is faithful and He will work, because He, if you are in Christ, He is making you more and more like His own Son. And He will use His Word to do that. So I would challenge that. Secondly, and more in context with what we're dealing with here, there is a very relational aspect to who we are in Christ. The Lord has not redeemed us unto ourselves. The Lord has not made us whole and forgiven us of our sins that we would exist in this wholly other personal entity, this, dare I say, this American dream of this individualistic, strong one who just plows forward into what they have or believe they have been called to do. No. If that is our idea, that we are in Christ, but that has some sort of individualistic, if that has some sort of individualistic undertones, yes, you have been called individually by name, but you have been called individually by name so that you could be and become part of this family. You have been brought into the family. You have not been loved, and you have not been given the peace of God. You have not been reconciled unto Jesus Christ. His blood has not washed you from your sins without also making you family. Family with those who have also been washed, those who have also been made white, those who have also been made family. We have brothers and sisters. We have a bond in Jesus Christ that is stronger than any blood or heredity or family line. We have been given one another, and we come together in unity, and we come together to worship, and we come together to live, because this will be our family for all eternity. We will dwell in the presence of Almighty God. We will sit down at the grand table at the marriage feast of the Lamb. We will come together and we will be with Him for all eternity, where He is, with these ones whom He has called and made family with you. And so John is saying, love them. Live in unity with them. Dare I even say, live with them. Now, what do I mean by that? If our weeks continually go by, and I use this as an example, but if our weeks continually go by and we are not living in fellowship, constant fellowship with those whom we say are our brothers and sisters, there is something amiss. There is something amiss. There is no options for this. God has made us family together that we may serve one another, that we may worship one another together, that we would be together. Now, I would love to just go off into a New Testament study of the relationship that we now have with Jesus Christ by being made sons and daughters, and how that relationship plays out. John is giving some very, very powerful guideposts to this, and how we love one another, and how we live with one another, and how we even live together with one another in such a way that we protect one another. Those who have been given authority within the church, those who have been charged to shepherd her, and even those within the church that would have those folks into their home that claim to be teachers. If they don't teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he being fully God, descended and stepped down from heaven, taking on the form of a man, and becoming fully God and fully man. It is this one who was incarnated, who was born, and is the same one, the man Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross as the only sacrifice that could wash away our sin. And John says, if this is not your message, then you have no part in my home, you have no part in my church, you have no part with my brothers and sisters. Because we have one Lord and one Jesus Christ. We have one message, and that is his gospel. And so, brothers and sisters, how are you being brothers and sisters? How are you loving one another? How are you being built up in the faith of Jesus Christ? I pray that by the Holy Spirit, this would be done in your lives this week. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray that you would protect us from being alone, even in the midst of a pandemic. Protect us from and keep us from not being together and not living in unity as this church. Pray that we continue to build us up. Lord, you've promised that we would look more and more like you, O Jesus. And Lord, the way that we show that we are like you is that we love one another. So I pray that we would do that, even here at Neely's Creek in Rock Hill, South Carolina in 2020. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. We look for your coming. We pray that we would be vigilant in Jesus' name. Amen.